it's almost universal. Like, are we a good enough mom? Are we doing enough? And so I wanted to help moms on that level because I know the pain of what that feels like. And I know what it feels like when you are able to turn and look at your day and make it intentional, and how good that feels to realize I did everything that I wanted to in that time to make it the very best, most glorifying day for God.
Welcome to Rooted and Held, a special series from the Kingdom Life Coaching Podcast. I'm your host, Megan Nilsson, and throughout this month of May, we will be diving into the sacred, messy, nuanced world of motherhood. Every week, I will sit down with a different woman whose story reflects a unique aspect of this mothering journey. But no matter the season or the circumstance, you will hear one truth rise to the surface again and again. You, mom, are not defined by your role. You are rooted in Christ and held by His love. So grab your journal, take a breath, and join me for honest conversations that are raw and real and challenging and ultimately encouraging, that remind us we're not alone. We are deeply known by the one who sees it all. This is Rooted and Held. Let's get into today's story. Welcome back to the show, and I am smiling from ear to ear because I have one of my favorite people on the show, Aubrey Felderhoff, who, before we start anything, you have to know the backstory of how we met, and it was through podcasting. So I just love the way that God connects people and the way He connected us. So I'll tee it up, and then Audrey, do people do that a lot, by the way?
All the time.
Aubrey. Yes, oh my gosh. Like, I do know her name is Aubrey. Okay. I might be, didn't switch that back around. Aubrey, how we met. And we're going to dive into a deep conversation today, but I remember getting an email from you. And the email had told me that you had heard me on Sarah Taylor's Passion Meets Purpose podcast, and that you had ordered my book, Untangled Faith, and that you had some questions about hearing from God. Because you're like, I don't know this world, and I honestly don't know if I can hear from God. I need help. So we started an email communication, and then over connecting with each other, eventually you decided to hire me as your Kingdom Life Coach. And so we're going to go into the backstory of Aubrey's life and her faith development. But I just have to say, sort of this is like the end before the beginning, that it's really incredible to be sitting here with you and looking at this bio that's telling me that you are an identity coach for moms. Okay, so we'll go into how you got there. You know, you have three cute little boys, and you're the founder of Mom Intentional, and you've walked through chronic illness. I mean, a lot of things. But it's just exciting to have you on the show. And you, this is how far along you are, that you have a podcast and you're coaching. So we're going to go into all that, but you can tell I'm a proud mama. And so Aubrey, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Megan. I am just a proud little daughter of you.
I mean, are we really that off in age? I'm like, could you be my daughter? Okay.
I mean, maybe.
It all depends on when I went through puberty, but whatever. So from your side of the equation, because this show is all about, how do you hear God's voice? If you can hear His voice, how do you hear His voice? How would you and I and listeners know, okay, how would we grow in confidence and trust in hearing God? And then when we do hear Him, what does it look like to walk through fear and into obedient faith and following His promptings, the Holy Spirit? So tell me a little bit about why you reached out to me, and then go back in your own story. Like, what is your faith like? What was your faith like growing up? How did it evolve? So there you go. I always tee it up with too many questions, but you can figure it out.
It's okay. You know, I like questions. So, okay. It all kind of started as a child, and I grew up in a house that really didn't have faith. We didn't go to church. We didn't talk about God. We didn't have Bibles. So I didn't know God, and I didn't know.
And where did you grow up, by the way?
I live in Texas, so in Dallas.
And in Texas, you did not have a Bible in your home growing up in Texas. Okay, just to clarify. Okay, I was like, that's the Bible Belt girl. You didn't have a Bible in your house. Okay. Major outcast. Okay.
Yes. Yeah, we didn't go to church. We did go, I guess, on Easter and Christmas Eve sometimes with my uncles, mm-hmm. my aunt and uncle, but we just didn't go to church, didn't really talk about God, didn't have a personal relationship. Okay. And so when I got married, I became interested in learning about God. And especially once I had my first child, I knew that there was something to that God thing. I just didn't really know what. I didn't know much about God at all.
Were there people around you talking about God? Was your new husband, was he a Christian? And you're like, wait, we're not connected in this way? Like, why were you interested in God, do you think?
I wanted my kids, my future kids, to grow up with a different foundation and a level of confidence that I didn't feel like I had growing up, because in my head growing up, I didn't understand the purpose of life and I didn't understand the purpose of death. It sounded really scary to me because it was the end. And so I knew I wanted something different. And my husband was Catholic. Mm-hmm. And when we first got married, I actually learned about the Catholic faith and kind of went down that road, and we started going to church. And shortly after we had our first son, we moved to a different house, had our second son, and that's when I got really, really, really sick. And it became a 7-year journey of unexplained chronic illness, over 30 doctors across the nation. Nobody could figure out what was wrong with me. And it was through that that my faith actually grew. And it was because I became so desperate to get well and felt so helpless that I eventually just laid it out and accepted Jesus in my heart and said, basically, I have no control over this. And health is something that I had always prided myself in. I have no control over my health. I have no control over my future. And I need you to take this from me. If there's a God, you know, if there's a real God in the world, I need you to help me. And it was shortly after I prayed that God, and only God, gave me a miracle of things that can't be explained outside of God, right? Like just those, the miracle that was God.
Incredible. And I love the fact that you accepted Jesus before there was any outward sign of his power, his help, his comfort, his peace. You were just like, okay. I mean, did you know the name Jesus? Like, how did you know he was the God to turn to?
So when we moved to this new house, we did start going to a church that I finally felt at home in. Mm-hmm. I had never felt that before. And this particular church, I thought, I feel at home here. And so that's when I started getting curious. And this particular church, it teaches from the Bible, verse by verse. And so up to that point, I didn't even know how to read a Bible. You know, when you grow up in church, you go to church and they say, open to John, 6:13. Well, I didn't understand. And it was embarrassing to me to go into church where all these people in Texas are flipping open their Bibles, that have the tabs, the cute little tabs and the handle that they carry. And mine's a little tiny Bible. And I'm looking at the index, trying to find the chapter and understand. I mean, it was, when you don't grow up a Christian and you walk into a
church. The names and the numbers and the books and what even was John or what are we doing here? Yeah. Amazing.
I felt so embarrassed that I didn't know. And it wasn't my fault, but I just didn't know. But anyways, it was through that church that I really became curious and started to learn and reached out. You know, as I reached out to you, I have a lot of questions in my little head. And so I reached out to the pastor. I felt comfortable doing that. And he began to kind of take me under his wing and teach me and encourage me through the hardships. He knew what was going on with my health and really encouraged me to keep reaching out to God and to turn the way that I was viewing some things that were happening as God as the ultimate sovereign God, and his timing is better than my timing. And so
did you receive that as encouragement, or did you receive that as like cliche platitudes? Because I feel like that's one of the nuances of the Christian faith of like, you're sick. I'm assuming that the pastor wasn't, at least to the degree that you were. So you're suffering. He's maybe not suffering in health. And he's saying, just keep looking to God. Just keep asking God. Like, it seems to me that you received that as nourishment and like water for your soul, as opposed to, well, that's great that you just keep slapping God on this, but I am in pain and this doesn't help. Do I mean,
right. So let me back up and say that I met with him every week for an hour and we dug into the scripture and I came angry every time and said, I don't understand why bad things are happening to good people. I'm not a bad person. Why is this happening? Explain this verse. Explain this. So I'm making it.
Okay. You were going after him. I see. Okay. So I knew
it was very simple. It was not simple. Yeah. And he dealt with a lot of hard questions from me and some of them, you know, with faith, some don't have an explanation this side of heaven. And I had to learn to accept that even as a very logical type A personality that I want, you know, answer A from answer A. I don't want a fluffy answer. I really learned a lot, but ultimately it was God that was working in my life and beginning to perform small miracles and give me these people, you know, you and my pastor. And I had a Christian counselor that I worked with for a really long time in helping me to handle so much of the negative feelings and helplessness feelings that I was having with my chronic illness. And so it was through all of that that I really grew and I guess became primed to accept Jesus before he even gave me my answer. But it wasn't until I really surrendered and said, I'm done. I'm officially giving up control that he then gave me my miracle.
Yeah. Take us back to that time of illness. It was years. What were you experiencing? Like, what was the depth to which this fell, this illness?
Yeah, it was the worst time of my life. I was a brand new mom when I got sick. My oldest son was only a year when my second son was born. And that's really when it happened. And within that time, I had another son. So I had three little boys all at home. I went from I had owned a boot camp for 10 years, a business owner and running classes and fitness and very, very active. I went from that to not being able to drive, not being able to walk. I could no longer sit up. And so I was laying on the floor. I had lost a large portion of my hearing, my eyesight, most of my eyebrows, most of my hair. I was no longer really able to function at all. I could no longer drive myself. My heart had become enlarged. I was seeing all these different specialists with all of these different diagnoses. We had to get someone to come help me because I was a stay-at-home mom, but I couldn't take care of my kids. There was one time my husband came home. I had had a blackout, which happened often. I'd had a blackout upstairs and was laying face down on the middle of the floor, passed out. And my middle son at the time was 6 months and was crawling. And it was upstairs. We had a baby gate. It was open. I'd come up the stairs, passed out. And my husband happened to come home and he was teetering at the top of the stairs. I mean, it was really not safe.
It just makes my heart like drop into my stomach. Yes. Like it's so scary. I mean, symptom after symptom. And you know, one of the reasons that I wanted to interview you now in the month of May when we are going to be posting this is because I am celebrating motherhood of all different kinds and really finding out your identity that in addition to mother, like who has God made you to be? What kind of obstacles have you overcome in motherhood? And fortunately or unfortunately, I think unfortunately, but God does not waste pain. Aubrey came to the top of my mind because I know you've dealt with severe chronic illness and ADHD and feelings of lack of worth or being enough in motherhood. So without airing all of your quote, dirty laundry, I know you to be an open book and you're just darling. So you're like, just tell the people. But I think your story and continue to tell us, but your story of becoming a mom, getting super sick, finding the Lord, and really like you have lived a lot of years trying to kind of piece together that story and who is God in the midst of it? And ultimately, like, who are you as a mom, as a woman? So continue. So your baby's teetering at the top of the stairs. Your husband comes home. Then what?
So he finds me on the ground. And once I come to, we go to the emergency room. And at the emergency room, I was told that this was normal, which was a pretty standard thing to be told at this point in my health journey, that I actually just had a mental disorder and was tired. And my prescription from the emergency room was naps as a mom and a better multivitamin.
This sounds like the 1800s or 1930s, like what they would do to women. Like you're just crazy. You either put yourself in an insane asylum or you take a pill. You take a pill.
Yes. Oh, yes. Wow.
But this is not, this is the 21st century.
Okay. Oh, it was I can't tell you how helpless it made me feel. And also really made me question if I was crazy, like if it was in my head, if I wasn't tough enough, because I have always been someone, and you know, we've talked about this in coaching, that has struggled with feelings of worth and am I good enough? And it's a core thing that I've had to work on throughout my life. And so being told by people who I respected as doctors over and over, he was not the first, he was one of many, that this was more of a mental condition than a physical, because I look healthy and I was young, and that moms are tired and this is to be expected. It really caused a lot of mental distress and doubting and frustration and wondering why God made me that way. Why wasn't I as tough as the other moms that were able to apparently deal with the fatigue and the other things that supposedly were part of motherhood?
Okay. So he sends you home with a multivitamin and naps.
Yes. And
I assume you didn't get better.
No.
Okay. So you didn't get better. Shocking.
No. Then. It took 7 years and 30 more stories, just like that one, to eventually get on my knees and tell God I was done fighting for myself. I was tired. We had drained our bank account, hundreds of thousands of dollars going all across the nation, trying to figure out what this mystery illness was. I felt as if I was kind of a waste, which is a really low place to be, a waste of space for my family. I was draining our income. I wasn't able to take care of my kids, which was my job. And my identity had always been tied in what I was and what I did. And I could no longer do either of those. I was literally just trying to survive from the floor and doing a poor job of that. And it was really after that night that I just prayed for God to either take me or fix me, but I just couldn't keep doing this. I still get chills thinking about it, but literally the next day, my husband at work had just hired a man and was telling this man, who he did not know, that he was going to have to leave early because I had to go to a cardiologist. Like I said, my heart had become enlarged with everything going on. And the man was asking why, because I looked so healthy, why I was having all these issues. And after my husband, Mitch, told him, he explained that I sounded like his sister-in-law out in Illinois, which is a completely different area, and to call her. And so I did. And it came about that we actually had the same thing, and she had a specialist out in Colorado. And so I called that doctor, decided that it was time to go. And so we flew out and did 3 days worth of testing, and I was diagnosed. And once I had what it was, I could begin to, you know, work at treating it the appropriate way. But we first had to find the root cause, and it seemed impossible. And it wasn't. It just took me telling God, I'm done doing this on my own. You can have it. You have it anyways.
You
here I am.
And then this new employee walks into your husband's office. Mitch is forthright enough to say why he's leaving. And then this man is nosy enough to ask questions. I was like, ooh, that's my kind of guy. I'd be like, why are you taking it to the cardiologist? Like, what's going on? That's bold to start asking those questions. I don't know the backstory. And then he connects you with his sister-in-law. So what was it? What did you figure out?
It's a condition called SIRS, and it is basically a genetic disposition that I have. I'm missing some chromosomal genetic links in my body that allow me to detox biotoxins, mold, certain things like Lyme disease. And so my body, if I come into contact with these things, my body can't get them out like other people through normal detox mechanisms. And so it cycles over and over in a loop in my body trying to escape. But there's like basically a broken link between the communication of, hey, this is a problem. Let me, you know, send my little white soldiers to take it out. And it just continues to wreak havoc, and my body cannot eliminate. And so because of that, and because it's cycling over and over, I will have symptoms on every single system of my body, depending on where it's hitting and where it's causing damage. And the more exposure that I have to those things, COVID diseases or COVID illness is another one that causes some issues for me. The more that I have exposure, the more I'm built up. Kind of like, sounds gross, but when you think about your dishwasher or like your disposable, what is the thing?
The disposal.
Thank you. I'm like, it's not a dishwasher, it's a tea. But not that one.
Yeah, the one where you don't put your hand in and turn it on, that one. Okay, got it.
Yes. The disposal, if you put, you know, a bunch of orange peels in there and then you throw in coffee grinds and it just keeps sludging up, it eventually gets backed up.
Yeah. Like a toilet. Exactly. Yeah. We forgot another to tell our kids that if the toilet's clogged, don't keep pressing the handle. So we have a bad story about that one. We're like, oh, mental note, teach your kids not to keep pressing the handle. But the point is, nothing could get out. It wouldn't flush through your system, and it was getting clogged up and causing all kinds of havoc in your body. So then what's the remedy?
So for me, I had to pray about this again, which I had just prayed and got a scary, you know, answer. But the answer for me was to move and get rid of everything that we owned, because our particular situation had to do with mold that wasn't in our house, but was in the environment behind our house. And it was nothing that I could control. And so we had to move and start from scratch with no possessions, not even my Bible or my cute little handprint pictures.
So it's basically as if your house burned.
100%.
It would be as if a wildfire came through and just burned everything to the ground. And you're like, we gotta, like, the clothes on our back, we walk out of here, and probably even then we need to change when we get out of the car. Like, we're leaving these clothes behind.
Yeah, I had to get a new car. Yes. Mm-hmm. It's like doing that, but setting the fire yourself, because you know it's coming and it's just painful. Mm. It's just painful. Wow.
So I want to stop here for a second and really speak to, because I'm intrigued by kind of taking snapshots, if we're going to take the camera and kind of take snapshots of different facets of motherhood. And in your story, you have a lot of years of chronic illness to the point of debilitation. You cannot function in your motherly duties. In fact, you need help. And you have three young children. So when you think about that, and praise God, you are healthy now. I mean, you know, we don't know, but like, you are thriving and doing well physically. But what would you, like, what do you know about God in that state? And what would you say to a mom who is ill? I mean, because I think, you know, part of what you told me back when we were doing some coaching was just this, like, man, I'm a terrible mom. Like, they would be better off with someone else.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't think you can wrap any kind of bow around it, but I'm curious what reflection you have at this point. And maybe if you're thinking about that mom who is dealing with some kind of pain or illness that is fairly chronic at this point, what would you say to her? What do you know to be true?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It's so defeating to be in that position, number one, and it can feel really draining. And I definitely encourage her to continuously reach out to God and continue to be in the Word. As hard as it is, there were so many days I didn't want to. I didn't want to read. I was mad. I was mad at what I was reading. But continuously reading the Bible every single day, I feel like, is what got me through, number one. Mm-hmm. And number two, recognizing that although I would never sign up for the path that I was on to get to the point that I'm at now, I can now see, and I feel like anyone that you talk to that's been through anything hard, and we all have hard things in our life, I can now see that God had a purpose and a plan for me that I couldn't see at the time. And I think about this often. I think about, if I hadn't gone through that and know what I know now, then my children may go through that. You know, it was a genetic chromosomal issue. And I would much prefer that it's me that ever has that pain than them. So I almost look at it as I got to take their place, and I do it in a heartbeat. Any mom would, right? Mm-hmm. I would do that in a heartbeat. And so that helped me a lot to look at and kind of reframe different situations. Mm-hmm. I'm thankful that I got to go through that, and I now have information and resources. And in fact, I was able to use some of those. My oldest was bit by a tick and got Lyme, and for a long time, we thought it was Lyme. And so I had a lot of information to help him get on the right road to recovery very quickly. Mm-hmm. I'm thankful that it was me and not them. So I think reframing and then continuing to come back to God, even though I mean, I hate to say it, but even though you may feel mad at him, I did. Mm-hmm. I did. And he understands us and he loves us and he created every hair on our head and every thought, mm-hmm. you know, he gets all of it. And so it's okay to be honest with him too about mm-hmm. how you're feeling and ask him to help you. When I was mad, I just asked for him to help me feel peace in the situation. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't immediate, but eventually he started pulling on my heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you recognize any kind of traumatic fallout from your kids from those 6-7 years? Because they were little and they missed out maybe on some significant pieces of nurturing. Again, there's no, this is just compassion. But what have you noticed now that you are kind of filling in the gaps or going back and just trusting that God is with them and bringing them on their healing journey and bringing them the nurturing and the love that they need that maybe physically you could not give them for a long time?
Yeah, that's probably been the hardest part for me is the guilt that I had and the struggle that almost grief for me of feeling as if I had missed their childhood and I wasn't able to be the mom that I wanted to be. I wasn't able to be intentional because I literally was trying to survive and there was no possible way that I could be the mom that I knew I had in me. And so I really had to wrestle with that grief and the guilt, the severe guilt that I know is common for moms, not just with chronic illness, but for a lot of reasons we struggle with guilt. And yeah, there are things that I have seen coming out and I've had to ask God to kind of help me navigate those feelings. But I will say there's so much power and so much beauty in kind of the grace that is extended here, because just recently I have had multiple times that my kids have mentioned different things in the past that have happened within that house and within mm-hmm. that time period that I viewed as a negative thing that they remember as amazing. Like an example is because I was so ill and so often not able to really function, we didn't leave the house for long periods of time. Mm-hmm. I couldn't drive. I was too busy and I was having blackouts. It was not safe. And so as a quote unquote field trip, I would take them outside to our backyard and we would pack a picnic. We'd go sit at different places or whatever. Sometimes we would walk. There was it was called a clubhouse, but it was just like an abandoned, I don't know, gathering place for neighbors at the front entrance of the neighborhood. It had wasp nests everywhere. It was dirty. But I would take my kids up there and we
no
would
wonder you were sick, Aubrey. I was like, wait a minute, girl.
I would take them up there as a way to get out. And we called it the secret house. And we would have picnics and club meetings up at the secret house.
And they remember the secret house.
Yes. I viewed it as guilty that I could not go to the zoo or go do these play dates and all these other things that I saw moms doing that I was so jealous of. And my kids still talk about it and how much fun they had and how cool of an experience that other kids didn't get. And so you just never know. You just never know how God's going to use it for good. Yes. You know?
Yes. And I really feel like at the core of motherhood is this desire to be just the person for our kids, like the source of life. I mean, you know, technically women are the source of life for children. That's how children are born into this world. But the source of life is actually God. And he uses us and he uses our bodies to bring about children into this earth. But the deeper truth there is that God is the source of life and Jesus is the friend, right? The Holy Spirit is the source of wisdom and comfort and advocacy. And so I think for all of us, I mean, you just unfortunately happen to have a very, and it is unfortunately, because you yourself said, I don't know if I'd go back and change it because of the good that God has brought from it. But we have this narrative that we need to be everything for our kids. And if we can't meet that need, therefore they're deficient and we're deficient and, you know, like everybody's kind of spiraling downwards. And while there are feelings of those emotions and that we need to work through, ultimately God's like, okay, do you trust me to cover this gap for you? Do you trust me? And you had to trust him and you can look back and see in this, even this sweet story about the secret place or the secret clubhouse. Yeah, he did. You know, I interviewed this gal, Sydney, and she said they were God's, they're God's kids before they're our kids. Yes. And I just think if there's one thing that God is constantly reminding of, is like, they're my kids before they're your kids, Megan. And I've given you an amazing role and responsibility to love and nurture them to the best of your ability. And guess what, Aubrey, you didn't have a big ability.
Yeah.
But you had the love in your heart for them and you were praying. And yeah, that is the magic pill. You know what yeah. I mean? They tried to give you a multivitamin. You're like, no, I'm just going to be praying. So anyway, yeah, we could go on about that for a long time. But I do have a special compassion and prayer in my heart for any mom that's listening that is really in pain or sick. And number one, that your body would know what to do and that you are praying for kingdom solutions, just like you did, Aubrey. You're like, okay, I give. I'm releasing my hands. God, you bring about the solution. And no sooner did you say that than he did. Amazing. So we're believing that he will bring about those solutions and that he wants healing for you too. You know, he wants healing. And some people don't really get to experience full physical healing this side of heaven, but a lot of people do. So let's yeah. just hold on to the a lot of people do part. And you did. So,
yeah.
Okay. So you basically burned down the house, walked out of there and had to move. And where did you end up? Like, what's the next phase of the story? Hey, Mama, Megan here. I just want to pop in and say that I see you. If your soul feels a little neglected in the middle of all the things, I get it. And I created something just for you. The Busy Mom Toolkit is a free, faith-filled resource packed with simple, powerful tools to help you grow in wisdom, connect with God, and care for your heart, even in the midst of the chaos. You do not have to put your spiritual life on hold for motherhood. In fact, it would be better for everybody if you don't do that. You will bless not only yourself, but those around you with the Busy Mom Toolkit. So head to busymomtoolkit.com and take one small step toward a stronger, wiser, more refreshed you. I got you, Mama.
Well, I did move, and it was a very slow rebuild for us because we had to build from the ground up. I mean, the house was there, but I had to build or buy rubber bands. I had to buy pillows. I had to buy, you know, toilet paper. It was during the very beginning of COVID too. So that was another wrench that we were not expecting.
No toilet paper. That's
no,
right.
I mean, we literally had no toilet paper. We had no beds. We had no place to sit. We had no table or chairs. And, you know, we're in the middle of homeschooling because everything was shut down and we were doing it from the floor. I had to go out and buy pencils at Walmart. I mean, it was hard. And in the meantime, I didn't get better. I actually got worse because my body was finally starting to detox. Mm-hmm. And you know, as you detox, sometimes it's not going to make you feel good. And so it was a testament of faith. And I can't say I didn't fight with God there. I'm pretty much a fighter all the time. So
you made me move and now this is worse. Yeah.
Well, I really struggled with my trust, you know, and it's always been a struggle for me to have faith in things that I can't see, which is what faith is. And thank God for God, because he's just given me too many moments in my life now that I can look back on, and I still have it every day, where it cannot be explained without knowing that it's God. And so, because I feel like if I was able to turn around and have faith, knowing how my mind is set up to really have to have so much proof and I have so much doubt built into me, then I think anybody could get there.
Okay. Speaking of your mind, by the way.
Yes.
So I did mention that you have ADHD.
Yes.
And that's another piece of your testimony and sort of a filter in your motherhood is how do I parent these kids with this specific kind of brain challenge? It's a superpower and it's a challenge, right? So speak to that experience and maybe to the mom who has ADHD or ADD. And by the way, apparently a lot of women are finding out that they have ADD like in their 40s, like later in life. This is wild to me. Like, yeah, in the 80s and 90s, nobody was talking about this. So yeah.
Well, ADHD used to be the hyperactive boy that couldn't sit still in class. And so a lot of females kind of flew under the radar, especially if it was more targeted in their brains, right? Like the hyperactivity, or often misdiagnosed as anxiety. And I actually did not get diagnosed until, I guess it was in my 30s when I got diagnosed, mm-hmm. but it was when my youngest son was the typical 1980s ADHD boy. And so mm-hmm. the school flagged him, and it was through learning about his ADHD and working with a psychologist that I recognized that everything on that questionnaire sounded like me. And so I started researching because I was not diagnosed. My mom has ADHD. It can be very genetic, but I had just never considered it because I never got in trouble in school for being hyperactive. But I did always, as I'm doing right now in this interview, I always fidgeted with my hands and tapped my foot and, you know, learned. Mm-hmm. I feel like so many females socially, we learn to cope in different ways. Mm-hmm. And we learn that it's not acceptable to be loud.
Did you ever twist your hair? That's the thing too. Twisting your hair.
My hair and just mm-hmm. fidgeting all the time. And yes, all the time. So
how has that impacted your motherhood? Like what kind of things have you had to overcome to kind of write that, to balance that out?
Yeah. So I hired a ADHD coach along, I guess, maybe 6 or 7 years ago. Once I started recognizing what symptoms of ADHD in women look like, which it was a lot different than mine.
Give us a little download, a little quick download of what are those symptoms? So we know, we're just all paying attention right now.
Not for personal reasons, right?
No, asking for a friend for sure.
Right. Yeah. Asking for a friend. Well, you know, it can present differently in anybody, like even multiple of the same gender, boys or girls, can have different areas that look differently. But I'll just speak from my own experience. I know that I struggle with wanting to interrupt and talk over people. So interviewing is really hard for me. I have to fidget to remind myself to shh. Yes. Right. But it's because our mind is constantly on the next thought and we need to get it out. And that for me is because I also struggle with my working memory really bad. So I have very poor, and a lot of times with ADHD, this is a common thing across the board, but very poor executive functioning skills. So things such as maybe remembering someone's name, even though they've told you 2 or 3 times. Yes. Maybe forgetting, you know, obviously I think we all know this one, but misplacing things. I probably lose my phone 2 to 3 times a day, no matter what. Forgetting multi-step instructions. So if you tell me to go do this and then go to the store and get this, I have a hard time remembering step 2 or 3 because my brain has already moved on to something else. Mm-hmm. I know for me, I am someone that really struggles to do very long, laborious tasks, multi-step projects, or things that are boring. If something bores me, it almost feels like death to me to have to sit down and do it. And that for me would be editing my podcast. And so I am aware of that.
I'm tracking with all the things you just said. I can't remember anybody's names. Feels like death to me. I hired. Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Anyway. And there's a lot more where that comes from. Those are just some easy examples for me, is kind of realizing that I didn't have a willpower problem when I would look at my list and see things being repeated over and over and over and thinking, I'm just not getting stuff done. Once I really worked with the coach, I recognized that those things on the list are either things that feel confusing. They don't, to me, have a process. So I don't know how to start. So ADHD, a lot of times you'll procrastinate big time, or it's things that look like so long of a process that the potential dopamine, right? The reward of checking it off the box isn't there.
Delayed gratification. You're like, oh my gosh. Yes.
It does not work. It does not work well for ADHD. And that's another thing I learned with this coach. I learned how to parent my kiddo that has ADHD differently, because ADHD kiddos, they're going to have a different set, because their brain is wired differently. They're going to have a different set of things that's going to work for them than a neurotypical kiddo. And so I really had to learn, you know, number one, why is this not working for him? It works for everyone else in the whole world. This is what all the experts say. And number two, what will work for him? And it was really surprising what I learned, but it really has made a difference. And also with myself, you know, I learned a lot of strategies and hacks. Let me give you a good example. And I think you know this, but when we moved from the house, like I said, I could take nothing with me. Well, I did not want to get rid of all of my pictures from when my kids were babies. And, you know, at that time we had photo books, because it was even my childhood photo books and old, you know, my great grandma and those sorts of things. Mm-hmm. So I put them in clear plastic tubs, and we had a special place that we store them. And I would have to literally, it was a whole ordeal, put on like an alien suit with this mask, and because I couldn't have any of the pictures touching my body or entering my body. But I would put all this on, go outside, scan, take pictures and scan everything. And then I had to send all of this off to a company to basically upload it into an area for me. Then from there, I could take those and make Shutterfly albums so that I had new albums. I mean, it wasn't the same as the original, but at least I had some form of pictures. Mm-hmm. But for the longest time with my ADHD brain, like literally way too long, what I had on my to-do list was Shutterfly albums.
And I was for like, years, I still have those on my own. Yeah. I'm feeling very seen right now, Aubrey. Right.
I am just not very good at doing projects. That was my mental, you know, what I kept saying to myself, like, why am I not getting this done? I'm just not making the time for it. Well, when I really sat down with my strategies, with my little tool belt that I had developed, I recognized, what is it about Shutterfly albums? What is required for me to do the Shutterfly albums? Well, hold up. That means I have to go put on my little jumpsuit, find a day that it's not windy, where this, you know, the contamination is going to get anywhere, carve out this entire time to go outside and even scan it. Then I have to find a company that does this, and I have to ship it off to them. And I have to wait for them to have, you know, bring it back. And it's my entire life worth of pictures.
So I literally have no excuse. All the things you just said, I don't have to do those before.
Well, even then with Shutterfly, it might be because once I got all that done, I still didn't start it. And then I realized, well, why don't I start it? Well, it's because I have 10,000 pictures on my phone, and it's really overwhelming for me to have to put that into an album. So then I had to set up systems to give me little dopamine hits and little very clear steps on how I could hit each thing and move myself down the funnel. And I had to learn to hack my brain. So ADHDers work really well off of dopamine because we're short naturally. So we're going to go for things that are shiny, that give us quick hits of, you know, happiness or joy or serotonin.
Completion. Yeah, totally.
Yes. And that's why we struggle with procrastination because we don't want to do it till the very last minute. And then when we have that pressure, we'll be able to get a quick hit of dopamine and we'll get it all done at once. We don't want to do. And so I would have to set up fake, you know, deadlines for myself to set up accountability, and I'd have to do different things, but eventually I got it done. And yeah, it was really long story, but all that to say, there's a lot you can do with your brain.
There's a lot you can do. Okay. So what I want to do, so one of my passions as a life coach and in this podcast is to help people really kind of navigate the process of how do you get clear about your calling? How do you get clear about hearing God's voice? How he's made you, what you're supposed to do. So this takes us back a little bit to when you reached out to me. So you're listening about life coaching, specifically hearing God's voice and how do you figure out what you're supposed to do. You reach out to me, we decide to work together. And I'm curious, because when we first started working together, is it okay for me to share some details? Yeah. Okay, great. Yeah. You were organizer, a personal organizer. Right? Yes. Helping people go, you were actually working for someone else.
Yes.
And helping to go in and seeing these overwhelming projects, which is kind of ironic, by the way, given the fact that you get really overwhelmed by huge projects. So, but maybe if it's somebody else's project, it feels like a quick win because you're helping them, you know, so we could split hairs on that one. Yeah. But you were like, I don't know if I'm supposed to be doing this. I think I'm supposed to be doing something else. And over the course of months that we worked together, we talked about a lot of different things. Well, fast forward to today, you actually have your own podcast, and you're actually helping on your podcast, which is called Mom Intentional, helping other moms with these exact things that you're talking about, like life hacks. Do you struggle with ADD, ADHD? So let's go back to when we first started working together and you were really trying to get clear about what you were called to do and really tapping into the voice of God. What can you recall about that process that was interesting, confusing, helpful? Like, how did you get where you are now?
Yes. And you know, Megan, all of the ideas that I had in my head when we first started working together.
A lot of ideas. Yep.
There was a lot going on up there. Mm-hmm. There always is. But yeah. I was really struggling, as you know, with deciphering what was God's voice, what was my voice, you know, because for me, I've learned I don't hear, and I don't think many people do actually hear, this big booming voice that I know is God. God's voice to me often is my own voice. So how do you decipher what I actually want versus what God is telling me? And it was a little confusing for me. And so that's why I had hired you, is because I knew, as you had said, I was organizing, and I knew that I wasn't in the right spot, but I couldn't figure out which direction to go from there and what I wanted versus what God wanted. And yeah, it was a bit of a process, but I have learned a lot just for me personally on how I hear God and how to trust that it's God and not my own voice. And I used a little pipe into your journal, but I used your, you know, I bought your journal, your book and your, what is it? The Beautiful
Untangled Faith and the Beautiful Exchange Journaling.
Yeah. So I used that for the first few months of coaching, of just sitting down and really forcing myself, forcing myself to sit still and quiet my mind, which anyone that has ADHD knows is not no easy task, you know, but it really helped me.
And for anybody wondering, okay, what is this process? It is very guided. Like every couple minutes, it's like, okay, now think about this, now think about this. So maybe part of that was helpful, because really the whole process, the way I have laid it out, is probably 25 to 30 minutes if you kind of go through the whole thing and do it kind of well, which is kind of sounds amazing, like a spa for your soul. Like, I just need 30 minutes, right? But it's not just this blank page where you're sitting there going, I don't know what to write. I don't know what to say. I don't know what God's saying. So I'm really encouraged to find that it was helpful for you. Maybe it would be helpful for other people. So you just had this discipline of sitting down and listening to God's voice. And what did he begin to reveal to you in those times? Do you remember?
Yes, quite a bit. So I had a lot of different paths that I was working there. And that's really what I journaled about. And I began to really see, and it was only through continuous disciplined sitting down and doing this, patterns and repeated scriptures that, you know, my working memory is poor, that kept popping up that I knew I hadn't memorized because I struggle with memorization, root memorization, that just kept coming into my mind. And I knew that wasn't me because, like I said, I don't remember things very well. And so that was indicator number one. And number two, I also just, for me personally, I hear God a lot when I'm done praying. So I may pray and I will sit and I will quiet my mind. And my quiet mind takes about 0.5 seconds before something pops in. And then I'm like, oop, get out, quiet down, you know, and then there's another thought. And
yeah, so you're like in a kickboxing match and they're like, out, 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 right hook, left hook.
It's like frustrating. And so what I've learned is if I'm experiencing that, I will let it go. Tell God, you know, thank you. I'll get up. And once I'm moving, usually I do this once a week now, God walks. So I'll go outside without earbuds or anything. And I will go on an hour long walk and I will literally have a conversation with God then, praying exactly what I would have done with my journaling. Then for whatever reason, maybe it's the stimulation of movement and being outside of nature where I connect really well to God, but just being in a different environment and moving, then I'm able to focus and I will really hear God just speaking to me so much. And so hack for me, it doesn't work for everyone, but I know everyone, or at least in the past, I feel like I was always told sit still and listen, and not everybody is wired that way, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's what you've learned about your kids in school and things like that. I actually went for a walk this morning. I have a habit of going to the gym every day. I love it. I love the class I'm in, et cetera. But today was very much a like, no, I think today, first of all, because I was listening to my body and my back was like, nope, we need to give it a break. Okay, fine, fine, fine. I've learned that the hard way. I go for a walk and I like to have the notes app open on my phone because I'm just like you. Like as I'm walking, thoughts will come into my head and it will really actually stir creativity. And I start writing down what I think, just some ideas that God's giving me and who knows where they'll lead. But I love that. That's really, really beautiful. So, okay. So you stray out. So you're not a personal organizer. You're like, this is not my thing. I'm learning to listen to God's voice. You're beginning to build the muscles of trust. So the other thing that I want to mention here is that so many people say, I don't know. I don't know if it's his voice or my voice. Like that is by far the biggest challenge and the biggest question that I hear. How do you know the difference? And first of all, it's you have to practice. Like hearing God's voice, I interviewed a pastor a while back and she said, there's no shortcuts to hearing God's voice. You just have to kind of like read the scriptures and talk with him and listen to worship music. Like get a lot of modalities in, go out in creation because God created nature. Guess what? He's going to speak through that. He's going to speak through your dreams. Like there's a lot of ways that he's going to bring this to you. And a lot people are closer than they realize to hearing God's voice, but because we have been sort of sown this narrative of like, you can't really trust yourself, especially in Christian churches, the flesh is deceitful. Like you can't trust your heart. And I have been convicted more and more. And even in a coaching program I'm in right now about, no, your joy is actually God's voice. Like what brings you joy is not bad. Like I don't know where along the way we got probably with the Puritans. You should just suffer for Christ and you should never have any fun. Yes. But I think more and more God's like, oh my goodness, I created you with gifts and talents and joys and you get to go to the secret clubhouse with me and get excited. Like I think about your three boys in that place. They're probably like, oh my gosh, this is so fun. Like that's God's work, you know, and that was his provision in a time when you couldn't provide. So I feel like your joy, like pay attention to what brings you joy, because that is a clue as to what God's voice is and what he's calling you into when you think about clarity and calling. And you are by nature a helper. You are by nature, Aubrey, an organizer. You've learned to overcome in that way, but you were tired of working for someone else and just going out and cleaning out people's kitchen drawers. Right. I mean, so how did you get to where you are now, which is podcasting, writing, coaching?
Yeah. I mean, I liked cleaning out people's drawers because this is what I learned. I had to go back and dig into why am I not feeling fulfilled? Why am I still feeling called by God that this isn't it? And I recognize I like bringing calm to chaos and I'm good at it. That, you know, and it goes as far back as puzzles. Like I said, I don't sit still very well, but when you put a puzzle in front of me, and that's another thing about the ADHD, you can hyper-focus, which is a superpower. So you can tame that into where when you are interested in something, your brain, it's hard to break off of it. And so I started looking at different pieces of my life and thinking, I seem to be really good with taking disorganization and dysfunction and finding a system to make it blossom, right? And that's a theme that God keeps giving me in my life in many different ways. And so I was attracted to organizing because of that, but I felt in my heart that it wasn't speaking to women who were like me, who felt this pain of my life is disorganized, my life is chaos, and I don't know how to make it, I don't know how to turn ashes to beauty from what I've been through and what I'm doing. I don't want any more time to slip through my fingers because, you know, we only get so much time on this earth and I don't want to continue to try to survive it. I want to thrive in it. I mean, I want to use the gift that God's given me. And so once I started digging into that and then praying and really thinking about it, I started exploring and recognized I want to help with the chaos, but I want to do it more through motherhood because that's really where I suffered, you know, with the grief of feeling as if I had lost it, lost that time with my boys. And I wanted to help other moms who might be suffering, not just with chronic illness, because I did think about helping moms with chronic illness, but I thought, no, it's really the central idea of all of us moms at some point or another have some sort of regret, some sort of sadness of seasons changing or some sort of negativity of I'm not enough. I didn't
or
do
opportunity
enough.
Missed or something that we would have done differently.
Yeah, I think it's almost universal. Like, are we a good enough mom? Are we doing enough? And so I wanted to help moms on that level because I know the pain of what that feels like. And I know what it feels like when you are able to turn and look at your day and make it intentional and how good that feels to realize I did everything that I wanted to in that time to make it the very best, most glorifying day for God. And
so, that's so cool. Yeah. So shifting into that space. So I would be a fool if I didn't ask you, how did hiring a coach help you with this process? Like why would you, and you're a coach now too. So why would someone consider hiring a coach for this type of transition in life or this kind of search quest?
Yeah. Well, I just had so many ideas in my head and I had a lot of stuff to decipher through and I didn't have a process. So for me, everything in my brain kind of works in systematic step A, B, C, D. I had step A of all the stuff, but I didn't have a system to weed through because I didn't exactly know at the time. You know, I hired you specifically to help me clarify what God was saying. And I wasn't sure. Mm-hmm. I didn't have kind of the safeguards of how do I know it's God and not me? So that was super helpful, kind of finding you to help me create that system of this is God. This is not God speaking to me, which I've had those thoughts too. I think we all have. Mm-hmm. But in the past, I wasn't able to recognize them. I thought they were just me because they were so constant in my head that I didn't know the difference. Mm-hmm. And then this is Aubrey. and learning the difference and learning to weed through. And once you learn that, your confidence in trusting yourself, I mean, it can't be replaced, you know, be replaced.
Yeah. Wow. That's so exciting. Well, tell people what you're doing now as far as the podcast and how you're helping moms. And then I would love for you to pray for us before we wrap it up. But yeah, people want to know more and they want to, they're like, my brain is like Aubrey's brain. I need help. What would you say? Where should they go?
Well, first I would say, I get you. If your brain's like mine, come on over. I have, like you said, I have a podcast. I started the podcast Mom Intentional. And it's all about helping moms to begin to feel like themselves again, embrace who they are in motherhood, because I know I certainly felt lost when I went into motherhood and lost so much more other than just my health, but just kind of who I was and what my hopes and dreams were because I was just surviving. So helping moms to get out of survival mode and begin to reclaim their lives so that they can live fully and with intention. And I also have a free Facebook community, Mom Intentional Club. And then like you, I kind of followed in my mentor's footsteps and started coaching other moms one-on-one. And so if you're interested in that, it's through my website, www.momintentional.com.
Amazing. And just little known fact, Aubrey has most of a book written. And in fact, when we were working together, you really thought the calling is to write the book first.
Yes.
And so much so that I've actually read the kind of the first draft manuscript, which you're an amazing writer and you're a great storyteller. So there's that. But then ultimately you decided it's not the book yet. It's actually the podcast and the coaching. Why did you choose that? What happened?
Yeah, I feel like God tells me no a lot, and I have to learn not to be a little bratty toddler about it, but or maybe it's just like this, I hear not yet or slow down a lot, right? You know, honestly, I got all the way to the end of that book and I could not write the final chapter, and that's how I knew it wasn't ready. And I spent months trying to write that final chapter and I couldn't do it. I couldn't put an ending on the book, and that's when I felt God prompting me that my story hadn't ended yet and that I needed to put that on pause and to begin to share my story in a more courageous way, which I almost, you know, didn't want to do, but that was through.
Why do you consider that more courageous?
I knew that if I wrote a book, and
just hide in the closet. Yes. Put it out there and you're like, just read it. You never have to see me. Like, look away.
Right? Exactly. It. And then I could say, see, I told you I couldn't do this, you know? And I was terrified of telling my story. I was terrified of, I still struggle a lot with confidence. And so I was terrified that if I spoke out loud, such as a podcast, I knew I wanted to podcast, but there was no way I was going to do it, or coaching, that I would be an idiot, like a bumbling idiot that had nothing of value. Like I said, I struggle with my memory. And so how am I going to remember? And I often do. I'll be in the middle of Saint Celine and forget and have to edit that out of my podcast. But how would I be able to even remember what I want to say? And what if I tell everyone this stuff and they tell me that I was just being a baby? You know, I think it's that scar of all the doctors kind of telling me it was my own head and not. Yeah. But I really struggled with that. And honestly, when I finally decided to start podcasting, I noticed a lot of resistance from the enemy and not recognizing in the beginning that it was not for me. you know, because when you have these thoughts that are ingrained in your brain, mm-hmm. if you are not, if you don't know God, or if you don't know enough about what his character is, which mm-hmm. I am forever learning, I still think I'm a baby Christian, you know, mm-hmm. 12 years in, but if you don't know enough about his character, then sometimes it gets a real fuzzy in your head as far as, is this possibly true that maybe I'm just mm-hmm. defaulting here, or I'm not good enough in this area? And so I've really had to do a lot of work around that. And I've really had a lot of resistance, but I've also had a lot of fun.
So good. And honestly, I don't know any of us that get to where we are without help, you know? And what I love about culture these days, it's more, we're more and more open to help and therapy and mentors and coaching. And nobody pretends, I wouldn't be where I am if I didn't have a chain of coaches and therapists behind me. And probably you feel the same way. So yeah. For anybody out there that's feeling kind of a stirring towards something, or you're overwhelmed and you want to kind of shift life into a new track, my number one suggestion is, first of all, go to the Lord and start journaling about it. Start walking. If you're not going to sit down with a pen and paper, then start walking and talking with him and getting it out there and sharing with him your feelings and how you're feeling stuck and what you're feeling called to, and ask him to give you his kingdom-minded solutions. Like, where can I go? Who can I talk to that's going to help me work some of this out? And then you just start taking the next right step. And I'm really proud of you, Aubrey, for I love that that sort of awareness of, if I wrote the book, I wouldn't really be authentically, like, full voice, full face, full me telling my story, because there's something really powerful about showing up 100%. And it's hard because there's parts and pieces of our story at all the things that you just said, or what are people going to think? Or I can't believe, what if my mom hears this, or whatever, yes. you know? And all, I think at the end of the day, then where's our trust in God that he can cover those things? And our testimony is even more magnified when we share kind of the underbelly of stuff, because then it's like, look how good God is. Like, yes. he healed me and he saved me, and you're just so delightful. So I would highly recommend anybody to listen to your podcast and reach out for you to talk about coaching. So will you do me a favor as we end up? Would you pray?
Yes, I would
love I to. Know that's a whole other thing. It's like, oh gosh, so many people are like, I don't pray out loud. I'm like, sure you do. You're going to do it right now.
Yes. Well, you know, just a little side note on that. The very first time that I led my Bible study class, it was quite a while ago now, I knew I had to pray out loud, and I was absolutely terrified. And my best friend at the time reminded me that we are scared until we do something, number one. But when you hear other people pray, never once do you judge, or at least I don't. I don't think many people do. Do you judge them? I'm grateful they're leading me, and I'm focused on talking with God. And so when you know, make it more about focusing on talking to God, it kind of takes those jitters away. Yes. And if you haven't prayed out loud, just make yourself do it.
Just come on my podcast and I'll make you do it. So there we go.
Be forewarned. You will be asked. Be
forewarned. And it can be quick. It is, whatever you want to say is perfect.
Okay. Lord God, thank you so much for giving this time to us to just gather and to speak your word and speak your truth. And God, thank you for blessing me personally with Megan in my life, for me to begin to hear your voice. And I pray over each and every woman that is listening to this podcast today and in the future, Lord, that you are with her, that you are protecting her and showing up for her and beginning to allow her to hear your voice if she is seeking clarity. God, that you are just pouring into her and giving her that clarity, giving her that confidence and that clarity. Continue to nudge her and allow her to recognize that those nudges are indeed from you. And God, give her the strength to obey and to march forward, knowing that you, God, are sovereign over it all, and you have us in the palm of your hand. And I pray for just the protection over each and every woman listening. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And Aubrey, you are an incredible mother. You really are. And I just feel like the Lord has a grace over your family and over your life. And there is a piece of character building and perseverance that your boys have inherently, and they're going to see how strong their mom really is because they've seen you at your worst. Even if they can't remember consciously, their spirit, their soul has seen you there, and your testimony carries a lot of weight. So keep sharing it. It's the right thing to do. You're in the right place. So God bless you, girl.
Thanks, Megan. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for joining me for today's episode. If something in this conversation stirred your heart, maybe there's a story that mirrors your own, or you're sitting in the ache of wondering what the heck is next for your life, I want you to know a few things. There's purpose in your pain. Pain is never wasted. There's freedom on the other side of the overwhelm that you feel. There is clarity in the midst of confusion. And guess what? There's a next right step waiting for you. One that is aligned with your God-given identity and calling. If you're ready to explore what that might look like, I would love to walk alongside you. Let's talk. You can schedule a free discovery call at the link in the show notes. And together we will uncover your next faithful step toward more freedom, passion, and purpose in your life, because you were never meant to figure this out alone. So until next time, remember, you are rooted in Christ, held in His love, and you are never out of reach of God's good plans. Thanks for joining me, and I hope to talk to you soon.